Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
I told you there's a lot of great articles on BuzzFeed, and sometimes they highlight, Reddit threads and so on. And there was one that I know every single one of us can relate with, and it's basically titled, "Oh My God, My Parents Are Going to Kill Me."
Oh, yeah. When you brought this up, literally three things in my life, three things come to mind immediately. They will haunt me until the day I die, and the terror and fear that I had. So I love this topic.
I have a couple in mind as well immediately, and thoughts of my dad is going to, dad's going to kill Ralphie.
Dad's going to kill Ralphie.
But only it was me I was thinking about. But let me read you a couple of these examples, and feel free to chime in with your own. Here's one that says, when I was 11 years old, my parents weren't home one day. My older sister, who didn't even have a learner's permit at the time, decided to practice pulling my mom's car in and out of our driveway.
Oh, man.
She convinced me to get in the car with her, and when she tried to brake, she hit the gas instead, and we plowed straight into the house.
Oh, my God.
Not only did she leave a huge hole in the house, but she broke the water main, and the house flooded, too.
Oh, my God.
And I was the one who had to call my dad and tell him.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Here's another one. When I was a teenager, I secretly went out drinking with my boyfriend, and we walked back to our house afterwards. He wasn't supposed to stay the night, but he drunkenly stumbled into the house for some strange reason, went to my parents' room and passed out on the floor next to their bed.
You guys are such a cute couple.
No, that's terrible.
She said, I was terrified as I tried to quietly wake him up and move him out. But, of course, he woke up super loud, waking up my parents immediately.
What if he had woken up with the mom squatting over him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
What's your name?
She thought she was going to die.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't get worse.
My friend took her college boyfriend home, and he got in bed with her parents.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And
that's terrible.
Any idea how that ended?
They're not together. She's married to somebody else, but
right.
Yeah.
Here's one that says, I was 7 years old, and a lot of these are for women. I was 7 years old and had just got my first pair of heels, so of course I thought it would be a good idea to tap dance on the glass table. Well, when the table shattered, it was inevitably going to. My dad was so grateful that I wasn't hurt, he didn't even get mad. So you got lucky there.
Oh, if you can do that, if the fear, you're okay, thank God. If that overrides, uh-huh. I have one of those.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah, okay. So, I never liked to leave a room when I was a kid in a very laconic way. I would run out because I'm a Superman. And we had a front door that was, the screen door. At that point in time, it had one full sheet of glass. It was winter. And so I was chasing my brother, and he went out the door and pushed it open. And it was swinging back, and I thought I could run out before it closed. Oops. And I stuntmaned right through the glass. I'm like, I don't know, 12 at the time.
Oh, no kidding.
And I blew through this, which I don't believe at that time was safety tempered glass.
Yeah.
I blew through it with such speed that it just, it shattered.
Just blew out completely.
And I was standing there on the front porch like,
am I okay?
and they were so furious, but amazed that I wasn't bleeding.
Yeah.
I got away with it.
But it's amazing how quickly the thought, Dad's going to kill me.
Oh, my God.
Immediately.
I would rather have bled to death.
Right.
Always pretend you're hurt.
Yeah. Kathy, that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Look at that.
When my son had the toilet plunger.
That's
and
right.
And he plunged.
And he could have died. Explain the story.
He could have died. He basically took the toilet plunger on the mirror in the bathroom, and it was a big mirror.
Like half the wall size?
Like probably about the size from like this computer monitor to that computer monitor.
Okay, so that's a good 5 feet wide, yeah.
It was the gigantic mirror, and I don't think he necessarily planned on doing this.
No, of course
but he
didn't.
But he plunged the mirror off of the wall and crashed down on his head.
Hit him?
Oh, yeah, it hit him.
Oh, wow.
But you have to understand, when you're a kid, of course that's something you're going to... This is going to be a great experiment.
Hey, in fact, he was probably trying to, like, climb the wall.
I can
like,
do this. I'll do this as a profession.
Yeah.
Did it break?
Oh, it smacked. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
He could have died.
A thousand different ways he could have died, Like, he could have died just from the impact. He could have, like, sliced his neck open, whatever. So it was the same thing. It's like... First of all, I had to figure out what happened.
Wait, hold on. How did you come across this? Did anybody come and tell you that something happened?
Oh, no, you heard it.
Okay.
We were right, downstairs. Yeah, my bad.
No. You heard the crash.
We heard the giant crash upstairs. I mean, because it was also very, very heavy. So we ran upstairs, and you got three kids standing there like, okay, what happened here?
What was the immediate answer?
You know, I don't really recall because I was smart enough to go, everybody get in your rooms.
Yeah.
All right. First, is everybody okay? All right. Yeah. Nobody's bleeding. All right. Everybody get into your rooms. Now I need to get these stories separately,
you had
right?
to separate
because
them.
Avery was like, you know, and then she was like, nah. And I'm like, no. Everybody leave.
Do you go into each room with a cup of coffee and light up a cigarette?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah.
And
can I get you anything?
Yeah.
Before
yeah,
we get started.
Did you unloosen your tie there?
I just want to let you know that you're your sister.
right.
She dimed you out.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So,
bitch.
I already know what happened, but I just want to hear from your own mouth. So I was able to get to the bottom of it. And again, you're alive. You're not hurt. And that's all I care. Hey,
it offers instant context to the whole thing. But there are things that are of less, you know, than a life-threatening thing. Especially when he did it, he must have thought, Oh my God.
Oh, my God. So my son's friend just had something happen the other day, and my dad told me not to do this like five times, and I did it anyway. And so he was obsessed with his butcher's knife, and so he took the butcher's knife, and he's trying to make spears, right? And his dad already caught him, you know? So
that's how most people make their spears, with butcher knives.
Well, you know
how... So he's trying to sharpen his stick.
He's trying to sharpen his stick. I used to make spears differently. I never used it with a knife, but... Right. And he cut his thumb, and he ended up having to get taken to the emergency room. It was like 2 days ago, but
What did I tell you?
Well,
yeah.
How did you cut your thumb? I cut it on a can of soda, is what he told his dad. Where's where's the can? It's upstairs. So he starts going upstairs, and the kid, bam, runs right past him, runs up the stairs, throws the knife underneath the couch, and the dad's like, dude, like, I saw you, you know?
Yeah, you're exacerbating the issue.
He's like, but, you know, when you cut your thumb open, you're like, oh, my God, my dad's going to kill me.
Yep. I had, and not as dramatic as that, but I remember this. And I was pre-kindergarten, so I had to have been 4 years old, maybe. My dad had a motorcycle. It was a 250cc, good-sized motorcycle in the garage. And as a kid, I would climb up on that thing. I was told not to play on the motorcycle. Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's a motorcycle.
I know.
It's the coolest thing ever.
And somehow or another, I knocked that thing off its kickstand. It fell over. No. It did not land on me. Had it at 4 years old, it could have killed me.
Yeah.
You know, and I just left. I just left, and I left the motorcycle there. Maybe they won't notice, you know.
That the motorcycle's on its side.
Yeah. So I don't remember, because I was that young, how mad my dad got or anything like that, or how I got in trouble. I do clearly know that they knew it was me, but I thought immediately, they're going to kill me. That's exactly what I thought.
There's nothing to... Honestly, you're just thinking, maybe I'll be lucky and die before they find out.
Yeah. Here's another one. Then I'm going to go to some phone calls because we have a ton coming in. This says, my sister and I were younger. We had a pet rabbit named Buster who was sadly killed by the neighbor's dogs one day and buried in a plastic bag in our garden. Well, a few years later, my sister and I got curious about Buster. We dug him up.
We used
my mom's good kitchen scissors to open the bag.
Oh, my God.
But the smell was so excruciatingly bad that we just quickly buried him again and put the scissors away. Later that night, my mom was using the scissors trying to figure out what that awful smell was.
Oh, gross.
Oh, God.
When we came clean, she was actually smelling Buster. She was livid.
She was smelling dead Buster on the scissors.
Let me go to some calls. I'll get Mike, our first Mike. We got a couple of mics on the line. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good. So when did you think your mom or your dad was going to kill you?
Well, besides every other day, it was usually my dad. That's how I used to make decisions.
Yeah.
So I was 17, senior in high school, Delaware County, growing up in Havertown. We were getting ready to go out. My dad said, no, you're not going out on mission night. It's mission night. I said, come on. I'm 17 years old. I'm a senior in high school. Let me be. He's like, all right.
Man.
I better not get a call from the police station. That's what his last words were to me. So we're out. We're in Lawrence Park Shopping Center. My friends and I, there's just two of us, decided to throw some eggs at some pedestrians walking around Lawrence Park Shopping Center.
Oh, you a-hole.
Next thing we know, there's a undercover cop in a truck following us. My friend doesn't know it's a cop, so he's trying to speed away from the guy. And the guy's, like, flagging us down, takes us to the Marble Police Station. cop says, all right, you got to call your dad. And I said, what? He's like, you got to call your dad. I said, okay. So I dial the phone number. My dad picks up. I hang up on him. I don't even say anything. Cop, he says, he calls him back and he says, hello, such and such. Your son is, your son's being arrested for disorderly conduct. Citation. And I hear the cop go, sir. Sir, no, he's a juvenile. No, we can't just put him in jail.
That's how you do it. Put him in jail.
No, sir.
Oh, man. It's worse than being at the police station.
Oh, my God. Well, and then, so now I have two boys of my own, and I preface everything by telling them, when you make a decision, say to yourself, will my father kill me before you make that decision?
Yeah. That's a great line to leave them with.
You know, Mike. What, though, Mike? What happens is, and you get that, and even as a kid, you'll get the lecture and you'll understand it. But then there'll be that moment where you walk into the garage and there's that shiny motorcycle.
Yeah, I know.
And that tends to override all the stuff you know better.
Yeah.
And it just happens.
Oh. Well, Steve, you know the saddest part of this is while I'm sitting here waiting to get on, I'm thinking of 87 other stories.
Hang on to him and get back to us another time, Mike. We appreciate it, bud.
Take care.
All right, see you later. Let's go to, oh my God, let me go to John. Hi, John. Good morning. Hey, John, what's your story? You thought your parents were going to kill you.
Oh, man. So I was maybe like 9 or 10. I was a firebug growing up.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Were you?
Yeah.
I'm not now. No.
Okay.
I'm over now.
Well, that's good. Not that you're an adult.
So, I was, experimenting with matches outside, and I lit a book of matches on fire and got a little out of hand, and I threw it, and it landed in a whole thing of dry leaves in our neighbor's yard. Mm-hmm. The entire yard caught fire.
Oh, man.
Like, just the entire thing caught fire, and it just kept getting closer and closer to this neighbor's house. All I did was panic and run away.
Oh, yeah. you just bailed.
And I bailed, and my friends ratted me out, of course.
Yeah.
Because, what are friends for? And I just thought, I was like, that's it. They're just going to murder me. I'm dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's serious
John,
stuff.
Question, have they told you to stop playing with matches or fire at any point?
I don't think they knew. I mean, this was the first time I got caught.
Okay, all right.
Thankfully, because I almost burned our house down, too, by lighting a tissue on fire, and it got out of hand.
Oh, my God.
Landed on the carpet.
I mean, that's bad. I'm glad that, that the house didn't burn down. And thank you, John. I appreciate it. And your parents, I'm sure, had there was hell to pay for that. But it's exponentially worse when you've been told many times, don't do this.
Well, as a young man, I'm doing, I got my Super 8 camera, and I'm going to make stop-motion movies like King Kong. And I got my whole thing. I got my light. This big light that would heat up. I was making it in the living room. We had a rug in the living room. I had my there was a table I was doing it on. And so I was I would sit the thing down. It had a stand on it, but I was sitting it down like on the carpet on its stand.
Yeah.
Mother kept saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't put that there. Don't do that. And they were away out for the day shopping at the mall or whatever. And I did it. And so it was like a big dome on it. It fell over.
Oh, no.
And just burned a hole in the carpet right down to the wood.
Oof.
There was this hole, like this big hole in the...
Did you try and cover it up?
Yeah, I took a pot... mind you, I took a potted plant that was nowhere near it and sat... And the hole was about 3 feet from the wall.
Oh. Yeah.
And just sat the potted plant there in the middle of the floor.
They'll never notice.
It's like there's no way they wouldn't know it happened. They found it instantly, but I was dying.
Yeah. Kathy?
Yes?
Oh, you were... I don't know.
All right, so listen, I was at my daughter's softball game. This is a long sort of drawn-out story. There was a fire that lit up behind home plate. All right, so because there were woods behind home plate, I had to go put it out. There were three kids there. And so, me and some other guy, we'd take a couple of buckets cause it was next to the creek and we just, we put the fire out. It was actually pretty decent size. As I'm walking up, there are these three kids there that are looking guilty as hell. And me jokingly, I go, ooh, this one kid, this little turd, he goes, stop messing with us, and lunges at me. I was like, and there was another parent there. I'm laughing out. I'm like, did this little kid just lunge at me? And I was only messing around. I was like, ooh. I'm fairly certain they were playing with matches back there, and that's how this fire...
Did you find out that was the case?
Well, no, but I was telling some other guy, I go, hey, I think they were playing with matches, and he says, dude, my friend burned his house down playing with matches. And I'm like, okay, well, I think your parents would kill you if you actually literally burned your house down if you were playing with matches. He was, right. You know, and you said you had the fire bug,
yeah,
Preston.
Yeah.
Didn't you burn down an entire...
A field. Yeah. We put it in. Me and my buddy had to stomp it out with our feet, and we melted our shoes in the process. And I had to throw those shoes away. So, anyhow, let me go over to Chuck, because he's got a story about...
So, I'm nervous telling this story because
I was
in so much trouble for so long. Yeah.
Okay.
I was 4 years old, and I accidentally lit my bed on fire.
Oh, whoa. My God.
So, we lived in an apartment. My sister was in school. My dad was working. My sister and I shared a bedroom when we were little. My mom was asleep in my sister's bed, and I was sitting up in my bed reading a comic book. And it must have been a strangely cloudy day, because a cloud would go in front of the sun, and I would lose my light, and then a cloud, and then the light would come back.
Right.
And then
right.
the cloud would go in front of the sun, and I'd lose the light, and the light would come back. And I thought, my dad has a Super 8 video camera, right? That had like a headlight you could put on top of it.
Sure.
It's the same light that gets to be 1,000 degrees.
A zillion degrees, right?
Yes, they're just horribly hot.
So I go and I get that light and I sit it on my bed. Mm-hmm. And when the cloud goes in front of the sun, I turn the light on.
Okay.
And then the cloud goes, you know, and then yeah. I turn it off. I turn it on, I turn it off, I turn it on. And finally I turn it on and woof. The sheets go up in flames.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
My mom leaps out of her bed, out of my sister's bed, and is stomping and you know, hitting it and pushing me out of the way and all this other stuff. And she says, and by the way, the funny part is we had matching sheets, my sister and I. They were like these brown sheets. And I destroyed them. And she says, don't ever tell your father, he will kill you. Right?
Wow.
We didn't tell my dad until I was in my 30s.
Yeah. Did he get pissed when you said it?
He, at that point, I think we were just talking over other stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, didn't you ever notice that the matching sheets never matched anymore? You know, like when we were kids.
Dude, you could have died.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a metal casing with a glass front. The thing got 1,000,000 degrees.
And even, and even though it had like a couple of like little thin bars across it, it didn't matter. It was so goddamn hot.
Oh, my God. Here's another quick story I'm going to read, and then I'll go to the more phone calls, Steve. But this is out of the they'll never notice category.
Like my potted plant.
Exactly. So this is
in the middle of the floor.
I think your parents are going to kill you. This says, my brother and I were home alone and tossing Beanie Babies to each other in the living room. Well, one happened to hit the ceiling fan, and the entire fan came crashing down.
Oh, wow.
We were too afraid to call our dad at work, so we called our mom, who was in another state on a business trip. And it has become the family story. The time we took out the whole ceiling fan and thought our dad would never find out.
Took out the whole ceiling fan.
Uh-huh.
It just disappears, and he's not going to notice.
I will go to Dustin. Hi, Dustin. Good morning.
Oh, look who it is. It's Preston.
That's right.
Hey, Dustin. What's up, buddy?
So, back when I was younger, I'd say probably elementary school, I was playing. My brother and I shared a room. He's about 2 years younger than me. And he just kept, like, whining and this and that. So I went down, and I was big into wrestling, so I did, like, the ankle lock submission. And he just kept going back at it, so I kept going down. I did it, like, two or three times. Well, I'd say probably the fourth time, I did it really hard, and I cracked his ankle.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
Yes. So then I started crying because I was like, I am in so much crap. Like, I'm screwed. And then he was a big whiner, so my mom thought he was faking it the whole time. He made him walk for it. She made him walk the mall for a little bit.
Walk it off?
And he just, and his you know, his ankle was all swollen. They just, you know, they took him to the, I guess the doctor or the emergency room, I can't remember. And they're like, his growth plate in his ankle's fractured. I was like, oh, I guess he wasn't faking it.
Well,
heard the pop.
Did it ever come back to you? Did you ever admit that you were the one who did it?
She's like, you're grounded from wrestling for quite a while.
Wow. So, yeah. But
as long as that's all it is, that's it.
It's those things also when you're told, as you said, Preston, time and time again, not to do it, not to do it, not to do it. There was a chair in our den. My father, it was a weird thing because he bought the chair because he liked the way it looked. It looked like a cool 60s, 70s chair. It was just a chair that rotated, and it was like almost like a little hand holding your ass, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, so he never used it, but I sat in it all the time, and I would actually lean forward on it. It was just four like legs sticking out at the base, and it was just a pole that went up to the bottom of the chair. And my mother kept saying, "Don't lean on that. Don't lean on that." And I would lean it forward. I was watching TV, and I do like these little rocking back and forth. Don't lean on it. Don't lean on it. I snapped the whole chair assembly right off the base.
Yeah.
And my mother goes, "Well, you're going to have to tell your dad you did that."
Yeah.
And so from the time I got home to school, and of course it's one of those nights where my dad's getting home later than normal.
Oh, you're just stewing in it.
Pissing myself.
Yeah.
And it was right out of a Christmas story. And I think might have told this story before. Having dinner, and you know, my dad notices this dumb hand chair that's suddenly not there.
Yeah.
And what happened to the chair? Oh, Steve was rocking on and it broke. So here's some more. And my mom did the Melinda Dillon thing from A Christmas Story. I'm like,
a distraction.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you know, my father looks at me like, you dumbass. And that was it. But my torture was so, I'm sweating now thinking about it.
I love the line, "From that day forward, things were different between my mother and I."
Yeah. And actually, that held true for my mom as well.
Kidding. Yeah. I see the Bears are in town this weekend.
Right. Let me go to Derek. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Hey, really sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's all good, dude. So when did you think your mom or your dad were going to kill you?
So I was about probably 14 at the time. My parents were out for the day. And my dad has always been a big Corvette collector. One time he had four at one time. And I decided to go into where he, quote-unquote, hid the keys and grab the keys to the 2003 50th anniversary vest.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I'm just going to do a quick lap around the neighborhood.
You know,
you
know? Yeah.
And so our neighborhood was literally like a NASCAR track. It was an oval like that. And I took it around, did like 20, 25 miles an hour. I was like, oh, that was cool. Yeah, one more time. I'll do one more time. I sped it up a little bit. I was doing maybe like 40 through the neighborhood. No problem, right? I was like, all right, that was cool. I was like, all right, nobody noticed. I'm going to do it one more time. I was on it. I was doing probably like 50 or 60 through the neighborhood. Went past some lady's house, and she saw me. Now, granted, like my head barely looked over the steering wheel. I could barely reach the pedals.
How old were you?
14.
I was about 14. Ugh. And it was a manual, too. It was a 6-speed manual car. So I had a real problem with the pedals. So she followed me. She came up, pulled out of her driveway. She must have been in her driveway or something. She pulled out of her driveway, followed me back to where I live, followed down the driveway. She's like, "Where's your parents at?" I was like, "I'm going to tell your parents, speeding through the neighborhood, blah, blah, blah."
Whatever. Oh, man.
And I was like, "Oh, they're not home." She's like, "I'm calling the police," whatever. I was like, "No, don't call the cops. Don't call the cops." She's like, "I'm going to call them." And then, like, I forget what happened, but she left.
You must have been like, "I'm going to have to kill this chick."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have to kill her.
I'm, like, hiding in my room, looking out the front window, waiting for the cops to show up and stuff. And, like, for hours, I was just sitting in my room, waiting, looking at the driveway, waiting for the cops to come. And never came. I was like, cool. My parents came home. I was like, oh, maybe I'm in the clear. Maybe she was, like, empty threat. So the next day, I think it was a Saturday, she showed up at my doorstep. And she was like, "I just want to let you know your son took the Corvette out and was speeding through the neighborhood." She was telling my mom. Well, my mom immediately grabbed the hairdryer cord and started chasing me around the house with the hairdryer.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Trying to beat the snot out of me.
Yeah.
But, so that was it. Nothing really came of it.
What about dad, though, Derek? What about dad? It was his vet.
Here's the funny thing, right? So my dad and I always had a great relationship. A couple days later, of course, he was disappointed in front of mom and whatnot. So a couple days later, he called me. I was at, like, doing some yard work for a neighbor or something like that, like kids' jobs. And he was like, just tell me real quick. He's like, "How'd you do?"
Oh,
did you stall it? He's like, "How was it?"
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he was cool with it. But you got your beating, which you probably deserved.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Derek. Sometimes they're cool about it. It's like in Catch Me If You Can, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's pretending to be a teacher for a month, and he gets busted, and his dad comes in with him, and they get the sit down. And as they're leaving, they kind of look at each other and just start laughing about how funny it was. Let me go to, very rarely do we have a Preston on the phone lines. Hey, Preston, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, buddy, wanted to hear about the time you messed up big time. You thought your parents were going to kill you.
Well, I'm actually going to tell you that my name is DJ, but I figured if I told him it was Preston.
Smart move.
You son of a bitch.
Great.
I like it. What's up, buddy?
All right, so when I was a kid, do you guys remember that Sharpie had those huge king-size metal permanent markers?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our our kitchen had a nice, bright white linoleum floor. So me being the Picasso that I am, I decided to put a mural across every square inch of that kitchen floor.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
How old were you?
I was probably like 4 or 5 at the time. And I'm guessing the trauma of the punishment I got is so bad because I can't really remember how bad I got it.
Yeah.
But I know that my dad tried everything under the sun to get that permanent marker out. Erasers, gasoline. One of his coworkers suggested mayonnaise. And he was like, all right, I think I'll try that. I'm not going to go to mayonnaise.
Wow. Oh, man. And I'm sure this is still a family story to this day.
Oh, yeah. Every time, like, we just redid our kitchen, they're like, yep, last time we had to redo the floor is when you decided to come.
I love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys rock.
I want to read a couple more of those. Here's one that says, I was 14 years old playing with some dry ice, trying to carbonate lemonade in a thermos. I left the top open a little bit to let the air out, but not enough. After a loud, deafening explosion, our ears were ringing. And we could see the cap of the thermos embedded in our ceiling. So my mom and dad were glad I wasn't hurt, but I wasn't allowed to play with dry ice anymore after that. They put dry ice in and put a cap on it,
God.
That expands. Oh, my God. Wow.
You can, you know, you start to talk, any of these stories, just tacitly, I feel the angst and anxiety. And you know, how many... I've been an adult for quite a while now, but you just revert to that kid terror.
Mm-hmm. Here's another great one. My house growing up was on a hill with steep slope driveway. And one day I decided to ride down it in a computer chair that had wheels on it. Well, the ride down was fun until I hit the spot where the driveway met the road and one of the chairs completely broke off. So this isn't the whole, the only thing that happens is I panicked. I quickly returned the chair to the computer room. I propped it up on the broken leg, hoping no one would notice. No one did. Till my stepdad took a seat in it, and the chair completely collapsed beneath him. Yeah.
Now, sometimes you try to sell that.
Hey, what'd you do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wow. All right, let me see.
What'd you do?
I got Mike R. on the line. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing? You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Mike?
So I was probably about 11 years old, and I grew up in the Midwest. Things were a little different. I'm probably about 40 now. So me and my friend went through my dad's closet, and he had a bunch of guns in there and stuff, and we find a canister of fine black gunpowder.
Oh, my God.
We decide that'll be fun to play with.
Right.
We
go outside,
and we take apart some pens, and we're filling them up with this powder and putting, like, little wicks in them and trying to make these little rockets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple to go off, and all of a sudden one of them doesn't go off. So me and my friend go walking over towards it. My buddy's got this whole canister of powder in his hand still. Oh, geez. And as we walk up to the one that didn't go off, it just, the whole thing explodes. A giant, giant fireball. And we both, like, cover our face to block our face. We had, like, second-degree burns up and down our arms.
Whoa. Jesus!
Okay.
So we're going to freak out. We don't know what to do. So, you know, it hurts. We're holding our arms in cold water and stuff. What are we going to tell the old man when he comes home? Like, he's going to kill us.
Yeah.
So we were in the Midwest. Like I said, we used to burn our garbage. So I said, you know what? We'll tell him that we were burning the garbage. And newspaper flew out and, like, wrapped around our arms.
Sounds good.
So we go with that. But the old man didn't believe it. You know what I mean?
Really?
Shocking.
So, you know, he kind of goes with it. And then suddenly, like, 2 days later, we're outside walking, and there's the canister with both ends blown off. And it all came clear there. You knew what happened from that. Oh,
you try, and actually, all things considered, that wasn't a bad deflection, but the clock was ticking. Hey, Preston, you had...
Thanks, Mike.
You've had your share of diversion stories where your dad didn't buy it for a second.
I just thought of the one that I've told you guys before, and I wrecked my sister's truck, man. It was... A guy was sitting in the car next, or in the cab next to me, and I turned to talk to him, and as I did, I pulled the wheel to the right. I didn't realize I did this. And next, instead of just going off onto the shoulder, there was a ditch, and at the base of a ditch was a chain link fence, long one. It was like a water plant or something, you know, a water treatment plant or something like that I was driving next to, and the whole side of the truck, because we were doing, you know, maybe 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And just... I look over. He's got his hands on the dashboard. And the fence is whipping by. It's ripped off the side view mirror. and just completely from bumper to bumper ripped up the entire side of the truck. And I jerk the wheel back up. We get up onto the road and stop. And my first thought is, Dad's going to kill me.
Now,
Dad is going to kill me.
How long before the did you get an immediate story concocted?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, and that was the dog, right?
The dog ran out. By the way, there were chain link fences on both sides of this road.
Sure.
Because it was a sprawling, you know, industrial area. A dog would have been nowhere near there.
Right.
And
also, you know, the truth behind the story is not that bad of an excuse. You know what, Dad? Like, I just turned to talk to my friend, and I just lost control of the car.
Somehow that seems that would have been a tough... because he's like saying, hey, when I talk to people, I lose control of the car.
Yeah. Well, the part that I left out was what I was saying to my friend as I turned was,
do you have those joints with you?
I've never shared that with anybody. And we were on our way. This wasn't anywhere near the high school. We were going to the high school for a basketball game. It was miles out of the way. Geez.
Did I say high school?
We're taking a road trip along the way.
I meant an industrial park.
Wiped it out. I told my dad it was a dog, and he just kind of shook his head, and the anger is just seething. And then he gave me a ride to the basketball game. And years later, I confessed, and he just goes, "I knew it."
I didn't ruin the car. I think I got, it was either one or two flat tires, but same thing. I was in the car with a friend, and we said that a cat ran out in front of us. But what we were doing, we didn't just turn to each other. I think I told you this before. We were, we had red licorice, the long strings, and so we were doing the Lady and the Tramp spaghetti eating, and I crashed into the trash cans up on the curb, and I think it was two flat tires. I think it was the driver's side and then the back as well.
There's a tweet in response to this, what we're talking about right now. It's from our friend Jess Margera. Says, me and Bam were playing hide and seek when we were 3 and 4 years old. Let's hide from Mom. It went on so long, the police found us in the basement storage cabinet. April called the cops. Oh, at least you guys never quit, man.
Yeah, fortunately that went on for the rest of their lives.
You wrote it out. Wow.
Those are the worst. We were told not to go. There was a house construction at the end of our block. You know, when you're growing up and developments weren't completed, it was like no man's land.
Yeah.
So there's a, you know, so we, my friend, don't go there. Don't go in those houses. You go in those houses, you could die. You fall off. You don't know if those things are fully built. You don't know if those floors are stable. Of course, not only are we walking around, I'm riding my bike up the stairs and on the floors. And of course, you know, my dad pulls up, you know, and I'm, woo! And it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
But it's, again, it must have been 500 times we were told not to go there, and I still went.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Let me go to, Mike's been on hold for like 25 minutes. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning. Mike, are you there, buddy?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I'm here. Hey, what's up, man?
I just want to mention what Steve mentioned about going through the door with the glass.
Yeah.
That happened to me when I was like 8 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, my brother and I were playing Superman. He went first through the door, hit the door part, went out. I went second. I went through the glass.
The same thing.
I got 17 stitches in my lower forearm.
Dude, then I won because I and that's why. So honestly, that glass broke in a way that was not, you know, it could be deadly.
Yeah, but at least you were really hurt. And that didn't, you know, as opposed to Dad's going to kill me. It's like, oh, my God, I might die because I'm bleeding. But thank you, Mike, for bringing that up, because a whole other conversation sometime might be, I was playing Superman, .. How many injuries do you think happen from playing wrestling or superhero?
Wrestling or superhero.
Superman, a full-on concussion.
Oh, my God.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No.
I was playing Superman.
Yep.
Because you start to think, as a kid, I can go up in a couple extra feet and make this jump.
Right. But wrestling... because it's fake and you don't realize that as a kid, I almost paralyzed my friend Mike. I gave him that's a DDT, right? I didn't know. I mean, I had no idea. I was like, dude, I'm going to do the DDT.
Anybody who ever actually tried to give a pile driver to somebody in real life?
Oh, my God.
Risk killing them.
Bruce Lee caused many injuries for me.
There you go.
When the Kung Fu craze first started and the show came on.
Yeah. All right, we may have to come back to that sometime. I wrote it down. Let me go next to Christy. Hi, Christy. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
We love you, Christy. Thank you. What's the story when you thought your parents were going to kill you?
Okay, so this was 1984. I lived on the main line. I was in ninth grade, and I went to school in the city, and I took the train every day. So my mom was away for a couple of days, and my older sister, 8 years older than me, was quote-unquote taking care of me. Well, my boyfriend, he lived in Chestnut Hill. He came over after school, and we decided that he would sleep over since my mom wasn't there. And he hid in the when my sister got home from work, he hid in the closet until she like went about her business, and then we, you know, he came out of the closet, and we just hung out in my room all night. Well, the next morning we decided, let's pretend that we're going to school, but not. And then when my sister leaves for work, we'll come back to the house and just hang out all day. So it was a very snowy day, and the train that I take to school crashed. And they took all of the people that were injured to the Bryn Mawr Hospital. So my sister heard this. My mom heard this. They called the school. I wasn't there.
Oh, no.
They called the house. I didn't answer. They called my neighbor. My neighbor came over and knocked on the door. She's like, Christy, everybody's looking for you. The train crashed.
What are the freaking odds?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what are the freaking odds?
The train you would have been on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, but that wasn't, you know, the other part of the story was that the boyfriend slept over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that we know that part, yeah.
And here we are sitting, eating cereal on a snowy day, watching cartoons. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in so much trouble. And my mother used to have this saying. She used to say, you can't snow the snowman. Mm-hmm. And she said, you can't snow the snowman. I know that there's more to this story, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And it was that the boyfriend slept over. I don't even know if she ever found out.
Well, but you were a lot. You weren't in it, you know. For a good portion of that, they're thinking you're buried under rubble or something after a train crash.
Yeah, they're panicking.
Yeah, they're panicking. So,
although your parents might say something like,
"I wish you'd die."
No, yeah. I thought you were dead. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, you're going to wish you were dead.
Yeah. I feel like nauseous just even thinking about
that's a classic. There's a classic Laurel and Hardy movie called Sons of the Desert where they say they're going to go for physical therapy and they're going to go do this. And what they're really doing is they're going off to a convention with all their rowdy, you know, lodge mates. Mm-hmm. And the ship that they were supposed to be on that took them to this place, it sinks unbeknownst to them. Mm-hmm. So the wives are like, they're looking in the newspaper and they're home, and so we couldn't help but notice that the ship you were on sank.
We swam.
We ship hiked. You ship hiked?
I love it. All right. Well, it's happened to all of us. If you've got kids, it's going to happen to them most likely. So just a heads up on that. And thanks for sharing the stories.
Get the whole Preston and Steve Show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.